Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott. This is a one-hour interactive talk show. We'll talk college recruiting, athletic scholarships, and much more. Here's your host, M.H. Scott.
Another Parents Coaching Parents Network show. I am your host, M.H. Scott, and folks, oh man, it's been a busy week, but a wonderful week. A busy week, but a wonderful week. You've ever had a week like that before where it's just been busy, things going on, things constantly, just kind of like keeping you engaged, keeping you involved, but at the same time, materializing for you. You see things coming together the way you wanted them to come together. And folks, I say that because I have been invited to be a facilitator at the National AFLife Conference, Student Athlete Development Conference. Oh man, this is huge. This is huge. I attended a few years ago just as a spectator, just to see what they do and what they're talking about. And at the time, the event was held at the Empire State Building, downtown New York City, and the headquarters for LinkedIn. And at the time, I was like, okay, well, hey, you know, somebody is making the connections that they need to make, and that was a great thing. So fast forward, you know, a few years later, post-COVID, and they're having a conference again, but this time their conference is going to be virtual. So as a result, the virtual conference came around, and I said, okay, well, let me register for it and see you know, what they talk about this year, because a couple of people that they had listed as keynote speakers, I wanted to hear what they had to say. Of course, each and every year they reach out to the NCAA, bring the NCAA in to get them to talk about some updates. But at the same time, they brought in a keynote speaker, Mr. Arne Duncan. And Arne Duncan is affiliated with the Knight Commission. And you've heard me talk about the Knight Commission here several times here on the Parents Coach the Parents Network and various times through just little hot spots where I just wanted to share some quick information with you. But the Knight Commission is that behind-the-scenes big brother to the NCAA. And what I mean behind-the-scenes big brother, their recommendations are heard by the NCAA, and not only heard, but oftentimes there's action taken on them. Oftentimes there's action taken on them. So I wanted to hear what Mr. Duncan had to say and what he was going to share with this group of AFLife folks, because AFLife Foundation is an organization that has put together a group of academic athletic coaches. I'm going to say, give you that title one more time. Academic athletic coaches. And these academic athletic coaches are in your respective schools for the purpose of helping the athletes in the schools stay focused and push and move forward towards their career path, whether or not their career path entails going into the military, whether or not their career path entails seeking employment, whether or not their career path takes them towards playing at the next level, at the college level. But these academic athletic advisors assist the athlete and keep track of them. Because oftentimes you have your guidance counselors, and folks will say, well, what's your guidance counselors in there doing? True, the guidance counselors are doing their job. But this academic athletic advisor is assisting the guidance counselors and keeping track of these kids, keeping track of these students and making sure that they're getting the best out of every situation. You know, when I attended the conference a couple years ago, I heard folks talk about the graduation rate and how that turned over. Wow. You know, just with the presence of these academic athletic advisors. And I was like, wow, you know, many, many, many other schools may need to consider incorporating this model, this game plan, to assist many of their athletes, not just through the process of athletic recruiting, but through the process of pursuing their futures. And we can even talk about vocational schools. They take it even to that level. Vocational training, career paths in corporate America, you know, college, of course, you know, moving on to play at the next level on the college level, or even if they decide to go into the military. So I think this position is worth its weight in gold, school district, to bring in a group of these individuals. You know, I've been trying to get something started here in the Hampton Roads area, but evidently, I must not be talking to the right people or haven't been able to open the right doors. Again, you know, it's one of those things. It's one of those things. I'm not sure exactly where the disconnect is coming in at, but I will continue to try to make it happen in this respective area and try to assist and foster it for it to happen in other areas if I have anything to do with it. Because I think the process and I think the mission of AFLife Foundation is definitely a winner for all, a winner for all. But like I said, I have been invited to facilitate a workshop, their national conference, which is starting in a couple of days. And I'm excited about it because that will put me in front of a group of parents from, hey, across the country, not just a captive audience in my respective area or wherever I go to speak, but a group of parents from across the country. I ain't got no problem with that. I have no problem with that whatsoever. So, like I said, in a couple of days, I'll be standing tall, facilitating the workshop at the AFLife Student Development Conference, annual conference. But that's not what I want to talk about today. Today, I want to talk about the big setup. As you see, I titled this episode, A Parent's Perspective, Athletes Betrayed or Was It? And I say that because I opened up this conversation a little bit last week, and then I have forgot all about I had a special guest that was coming in also that was going to share some insight with us. But I had already had my mind wrapped around unpacking this particular conversation and totally forgot about my guest. I'm going to have to bring him back in for another time slot and just get some more information from him, because I know he has a whole lot more to share. I'm talking about our guest last week, Mr. Terrell Rose. Terrell Rose is a hockey official, a Division I collegiate hockey official. Yes, I did say hockey. oftentimes we don't even talk about it. I had Mr. Rose come in last week and just give us some insight on how he got started as a Division I hockey official. And to me, that's awesome. But just as he got started as a hockey official, man, any one of our young athletes that realize that the game isn't going in their direction, but they still love being connected to the game, think about officiating. Whether or not it's football, whether or not it's baseball, whether or not it's basketball, whatever, think about officiating. And I guarantee you, oh, man, you will truly enjoy it. And, you know, oftentimes folks think they need to start out at the high school level and, you know, roll right on in there, so on and so forth. Nah, start at the youth level and watch that develop. Because each year you're out there, you see that same group of kids take their game to another level. And if you're out there for 2 or 3 years and you see them develop, you know that you had something to do with that. Matter of fact, you know what? Oftentimes you have more to do with it than the coaches. I'm not joking. You have more to do with it, their development, than coaches. Because the simple fact that you are out there providing them with something that the coach oftentimes overlooked in a practice. And they gain your trust based upon your level of professionalism. And that's big. That's big because oftentimes you got to think about it. The referee, the official, the umpire, whoever it is, makes a bad call, and oh man, everybody's face is frowned up and as tight as a knot. But when you got a situation where the players gain your trust, you gain their trust, you make the call, they respect that call, they keep on moving. But as I think about adults that's gaining the trust of our younger folks, I can't go on to think about a situation where a recent sports show aired, the Dan Le Batard sports show aired, and it had an episode where a gentleman by the name of Matthew Sullivan was on the show, and he talked about a book that he put out. And folks, I'm not promoting his book. Now, somebody may want to go and look it up and see what's the name of the book, but I'm not even going to give you the name of the book, because once I give you the name of the book, that sounds as though I'm promoting the book, or I done gave the book some free press. I'm going to give it some free press, all right, but it's not in the direction that he may think that he should be getting this free press. I'm going to give him some free press in the sense of talk about some things that I think could have been handled a little better. You know how I just talked about, you know, dealing with officials, referees, and that trust factor. When our athletes are out there, whether or not they're playing in an AAU tournament, whether or not they're playing in a college game, whether or not they're playing at a professional level, high school level, whatever, in front of that reporter, that individual that they think is going to do a positive story on their accomplishments because he's excited about their game. He wants to talk to them. He wants to sit down and find out how they was able to do what they did today. So as a result, he wants to talk to them. He meets them half court at the end of the game. He's inquiring about this. He's inquiring about that. You know, at that point, there's a level of trust being built because that athlete is under the impression that this person is going to do them some justice on what just took place, whether or not it was a win or loss. They are looking at that reporter to do some serious justice on what just took place. Hey, is that a bad thing, good thing, bad thing, or whatever? They're looking at it from a positive perspective, so it should be a positive perspective. But let's get back to this Dan Le Batard show. And let's get back to this individual by the name of Matt Sullivan. Now, I call Matt Sullivan's story the setup. And I call it the setup for a reason. Because of the simple fact, this gentleman befriended these athletes for the purpose of, it was almost like for the purpose of trying to dig up some dirt on them. And I'm talking about Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, KD and Kyrie. You know, and you know, they are both players for the Brooklyn Nets. And the Brooklyn Nets, you know, had their little season this year, and it didn't go the way most folks would have anticipated it going, but oh well. In this particular situation, this gentleman by the name of Matt Sullivan befriended these gentlemen and then did what? Wrote a story on them that I thought was totally unjust. You know, what, one minute he talked about, and I'm going to give you some sound bites to let you hear coming from him and not just me talking. But I want to start out and let you listen to what Dan Le Batard had to say. And if you ever watched the Dan Le Batard show, you know his voice. You heard his voice. You know that this is him. And what his statement was on how he referred to these athletes. Check this out.
I was, and many people were, about the evolution of the super team producing this team of trolls with the Brooklyn Nets that was very easy to dislike from afar, but this guy was in the middle of everything that was happening with that team, and it is indisputably an interesting team.
He was in the middle of them choking?
You know, he said this team of trolls. This team of trolls. Come on now. You said this team of trolls. What the heck is a troll? Huh? What is a troll? I'm trying to find the definition for this word troll. Because the last thing I can remember, and is an ugly creature depicting either a giant or a dwarf. Let me say that again. An ugly creature depicted as a giant or dwarf. That's a troll. I remember the days where they had the little troll dolls, and them jokers was hideous. Them jokers looked like the human version of a gremlin. That was a troll. So why would you refer to or the gentleman on this team of KD and Kyrie as trolls, or to refer to the team, a team of trolls? Yes, that's what he said, a team of trolls. I'm playing for you.
I was, and many people were, about the evolution of the super team producing this team of trolls with the Brooklyn Nets that was very easy to dislike from afar, but this guy was in the middle of everything that was happening with that team, and it is indisputably an interesting team.
He was in the middle of them choking?
A team of trolls. And then whoever that was in the background, you know, he was in the middle of them choking. Okay, well, whatever they did, they played the season that they played. It is what it is. And at the end of the day, I look at it and say, okay, hey, all right, no problem. If they stay together, they can always come back and do their own thing. But to refer to them as trolls. Now, as I'm talking about this gentleman, Matt Sullivan, I want you to hear what Matt had to say as he befriended these two players.
I kind of knocked down the door, made friends with these guys, and asked them questions that your average beat reporter refuses to ask. I mean, I was asking about race, the anthem, police shootings in the locker room while other guys were asking about X's and O's. And I think that was why Kyrie and I had a weird bond over real talk, to the point where he's up in my DMs sending me 67-page Supreme Court rulings on indigenous land rights. And I'm like, okay. And this is at the same time when I'm asking him, did you just skip the national anthem? Because I was just...
He kind of sort of got next to him, hung around him, you know, did what he had to do, got, you know, close enough so that, you know, they acknowledged him, so on and so forth, where they got to the point where, you know, as he said, you know, they were up in his DMs sending 67-page messages on, you know, different things or whatever. And then he wanted to know, did he just skip the national anthem? Okay, so what, he skipped the national anthem? But it ain't being played up the way it was being played up when we had that other president in there. So it wasn't no major story. So he had to find something else to talk about. He wanted to know why these guys were skipping the national anthem, you know. But I want you to take note of how he said he was able to get next to them. He befriended them. He hung out where they hung out. You know, if your child is an athlete and he or she is drawing some major media attention, please, please, parents, be cautious of who you allow to get in their face with that microphone or that recorder. And coach your kids so that they know what to say and when to say it. And if this person is not truly a friend, and that circle of friends should be cut down to a bare minimum. But if this person is not truly a friend, then guess what? Keep that person out of their circle. Discourage them from associating with that person, because that person is there for a story. That person is there for a personal gain, and it's not for the gain that's in the best interest of your child. And I'm talking all the way through AU level play, all the way through college level play, or in this case, as we can see, professional level of play. Professional level of play. This guy was so interested in discussing or talking about what was going on with Kevin Durant so much that he constantly stressed the point of Kevin Durant smokes. Really? For the purpose of what?
Matt, give us something about Kevin Durant that would surprise us.
He smokes even more weed than you would think. and I was at his house at 1 o'clock in the morning. The entire place just reeks.
Okay, I want you to hear something here, and I want you to make a mental note, or you can even write it down. He says he smokes more weed than he ever know. But where was he at when he smelled this weed?
Matt, give us something about Kevin Durant that would surprise us.
He smokes even more weed than you would think. and I was at his house at 1 o'clock in the morning. The entire place just reeks.
He was at his house at 1 o'clock in the morning. First of all, what are you doing at somebody's house at 1 o'clock in the morning? Just hanging out, trying to see if you can get some good information on 1 o'clock in the morning. If it was during the season, then that athlete probably should have been asleep or would have been asleep had you not been there entertaining them. So this time period that you was at his house, 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, that's just like the old story where Mike Tyson got caught up in the situation because he called a girl, told her he was coming to pick her up at 2 o'clock in the morning. He pulled up in his limousine to pick her up. And she thought she was going there just to have breakfast. Come on now. Come on. Tell the truth and shame the devil. She thought she was going there to have breakfast. What was she doing at Mike Tyson's house at 2 o'clock in the morning? That's just like, what was this clown doing at Kevin Durant's house at 2 o'clock in the morning? That supposedly reeked of the smell of weed. Wow. But this is things that people put out there. This is things that people put out there to draw the attention to them to say that they got this ultimate story. They got this story that you just absolutely, positively got to hear. And if you're not listening to their story, then guess what? You done missed out. You done missed out. Because their story is the story that we all got to know. They started this here mess about skipping the national anthem and all this old kind of stuff. And, okay, got it. Got it. But then they go on and start talking about what these guys are smoking. Then they go on to start talking about their financial situation. And, you know, they talk about those senseless things that, to me, you say you're not going to talk about anything of a personal nature, but yet and still, what are you really and truly trying to say? Or what subliminal message are you trying to send to your audience? What subliminal message are you trying to send to your audience when you are saying these things and saying, oh, well, you know, the house reeked of smoke. Now, in 1 second, I stress that point because I want you to hear it again. That's why I played it again. But in one breath, he said the house reeked of smoke. The next minute, he turns around and says that what? Katie only smokes in the car. Katie only smokes in the car. Mr. Producer, give me that clip, please. Katie only smokes in the car.
What's KD like when he's high?
He's the same. He's pretty chill. He only smokes in the car because he doesn't want to, I don't know if it's get caught or that's just his happy place. But yeah, the bodyguard / housemate who got in trouble for, like, you know, pushing away PJ Tucker in the playoffs, he's just kind of around and takes him down to the car and they blaze and he comes back and he chills or goes out. But he doesn't do it.
Oh, hold up. 1 minute you said that you was in the house and the house reeked of weed. Now you're saying that he only smokes in the car. So make up your mind. Which one is it? Is his bodyguard or his friend smoking in the house? Who's smoking in the house? Or was it you smoking in the house? And that's why the house reeked the weed. Interesting. Because, you know, you got to get your story together because of the simple fact that you're saying these various things. You're saying 1 second, one breath, that it's only in the car. And in another breath, at the very same time, you said he only smokes in the car. Which one is it? Is he smoking in the car or is he smoking in the house? Folks, I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to step away for a hot second. And when I come back, I want to finish this conversation called The Big Setup. You know, was it betrayal or not? What was it? You make the decision. All right? Hey, folks, I'll be right back. This is the Parents Coach of Parents Network. This is M.A. Scott, the host of the Parents Coach of Parents Network. We'll be right back.
I need it!
Hey, Sean! Let's go show down.
Hey, don't go anywhere. The Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott, will be back in just a few moments.
Mr. Scott, Coach Klein just calling to check in with you. I'm on my way to Patterson School today. I'll see Mike again tomorrow.
Mr. Scott, how you doing? This is Jeff Battle again. We got disconnected. If there's any problems or whatever, Coach Muse is looking forward to showing you guys around. My cell number.
Mike, this is Skip Prosser from Wake Forest. It's about 7:40. I understand you went by campus.
Mr. Scott, it's Coach Fernandez here with the University of Miami. Hey, hope is well. I just wanted to touch bases with you. I think your son was coming home this weekend and wanted me to give you a call. Hope.
Hey there, Mr. Scott. This is Chris Pompey, New Mexico State University. Saw your son play during the summer with Lou Williams. If you can, give me a call at your...
Hey, Mr. Scott. This is Coach Bradley down at Clemson. If you had a chance, my cell is 864.
This message will be saved for...
Hey, Michael. George Johnson again with the NBPA. We are pretty phone tag. If it's okay...
Mike Scott, Dan Williams, Philadelphia School District Sports Administration, Compliance, NCAA, you left...
Hey, Mike, this is John B. Lump, the head coach at West Virginia. Try to get in touch with you here, so I want to talk with you a little bit about your son. I know he's at home.
Hey, Mr. Scott, Dave Lakeville calling. It's about 6:15. Hope all is well. I talked to Coach Keats earlier today, and he said he had a conversation with you.
Next message.
Hey, Mr. Scott, Coach Keats, call me back with your facts.
Good evening, Mr. Scott. This is Chris Horn giving you a call back from thesaber.com. I hope all is going well. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Sorry about it. I'd like to just...
Mr. Scott, this is...
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating dead. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands and in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Guys, athletes, is scholarship mentors, and elevate parent coaching, parents know the game.
Hey, we're back, folks. We've been talking about the big setup, or should I say the portrayal of a reporter when he reported on two notable NBA superstars, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. You know, his conversation and his story and his statement has to be questionable at best. And that's just my opinion. I could be totally wrong. I could be way off. It could be something else going on. But, you know, he ended up befriending these guys. And then he wanted to share with his viewers or his listening audience what they smoke and who was smoking and where were they smoking and so on and so forth. But as I go on and continue on with this conversation, you know, I have to think about he even went as far back as to talk with Steve Kerr and to get Steve Kerr's opinion on Kevin Durant. Now, initially, when he starts out in this interview on the Dan Levitard show, he says Steve Nash. But as you listen to the conversation would have taken place with Steve Kerr. Check it out.
The Bay? And, you know, I talked to Steve Nash for a while about this, and he said he took KD out for a drink when he was just kind of sick of KD, you know, being up in his DMs, the burner accounts and all that. And he takes him out, he kind of prepares the lesson, and he says to KD, you know what I respect about LeBron? I respect that when he got to Miami, he got sick of the narrative, sick of the haters, all the talk. So you know what he did? And KD kind of sits there like, what's that, coach? You know, has a sip of his drink, and Kerr says, LeBron just said, can I curse on here?
Yes.
LeBron just said, fuck it. And then he was great again. Same with Michael, with Kobe, all the greats. So they had to say, fuck it. And then they were all on that next level. So you know what you have to do? And KD leans back and says, what's that, coach? Go out and be you. You just got to say, fuck it, like LeBron did. But then, even though the Warriors kind of rolled from there, Steve's telling me that, you know, he tried to get KD to stop looking at his phone all the time, to stop, you know, beefing with Draymond and then beefing with kids on Twitter. And he said, you know, I tried, but I failed. I could just see the strain on his face every day, especially that third year, just all day. But it was really, he was staring into that phone all the time. So he can't get over this. I mean, he says he's beyond it, but he's out here having, you know, GOAT top five debates and making sure he's in that conversation. So I don't think he's really changed since the Bay, and the only difference is that, you know, Brooklyn lets him.
Now, I shared that piece and it ran on a little bit, but, you know, I shared that piece because the young man probably was looking at his phone because he probably wasn't interested in being out there with you in the first place. He had no connection with you. If he's not engaged in a conversation with you or you are trying to connect with him and meet him where he is, then why are you out there trying to put together the lesson? What lesson? Who you think you is, the Dalai Lama? What lesson did you put together that he needs to sit down and listen to? Where you prepared the lesson and you took him out for a drink and he's sitting there looking at the phone. I'd be willing to bet probably if you check those messages that he was sending during that time period, it probably was, wow, I'm sitting out here with this boring coach. He's trying to talk to me about how to play basketball. You were never at the level of a Kevin Durant. You were never at the level of a Kyrie Irving. Steve Kerr. No, trust and believe that. I would give a Steve Nash a higher compliment than Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr existed only because of being on the Bulls with Michael Jordan. Let's be for real about this. Steve Kerr's existence was based on being on the Bulls with Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, which now you could talk about Kevin Durant and a Kyrie Irving. Now, nothing against you, Steve. I'm not slighting Steve whatsoever, but I'm slighting the individual who put together this here story to turn it into a book. And yes, he may be donating a portion of these funds to a charitable organization, may or may not be. Who's going to check and see? But meanwhile, if this story gains some attention, which thus far it hasn't, But if this story gains some attention, then the simple fact that he put it out there first is going to open doors for him to be a speaker somewhere and reap the benefits of his speaking ability or the story he's able to share on these phenomenal superstars. Wow. Wow. That's the way it goes nowadays. But now, he's able to give KD's name. He's able to give Kyrie's name. He even gave Steve Kerr's name. He even mentioned Steve Nash. But listen, when it gets to the point of identifying one of the officials, a doctor on the team, when we were talking about during the COVID time period, how he refers to this doctor. Who is this doctor? This doctor is somebody special? Or this doctor is somebody he respects to the point where he wouldn't put that doctor's name in this interview?
Doesn't get in his face about it like Kerr did.
They're totally left alone. The power has reached a point where these brands and these economies, these guys are answering to largely no one.
Yeah, a very high-ranking official with the Nets who had a lot to do with the money said basically there's a blank check as soon as these guys got here, whether that's buying a girlfriend or a girlfriend on the side of a house in California for a week, whether that's just putting up money for the boys and the homeboys and equipment for random shit. They're totally cool with that. And so I think that's what makes the Nets a modern franchise, is not their fancy practice facility or their defensive schemes. It's just that they're willing to put up with this. And maybe the Clippers weren't able to do that when they kind of pulled that, clean sweep 2-point.
A very high-ranking official that came in to talk about the budget. He referred to a doctor on the team or part of the team staff the very same way. But you had an individual that came in to talk about the budget. Very high-ranking official that you didn't want to give his name. Why? Why? I'm curious to know why. He's not a player. He's not a coach. Why? Why was he listed as a very high-ranking official, but yet and still you can give the name of every player that you had a chance to talk to, every coach that you came in contact with? That's puzzling for me. That's puzzling for me. You know, when you do stuff like that and then you don't want to give out names and then you refer to our athletes, as these fictitious positions and you say little, as the group would say, you say little slick stuff. Let little slick stuff come out your mouth. And that's another word they probably could have used for stuff, but you let it come out because you don't want to give out the individual's name. So you beat around the bush. You refer to them as commodities. You refer to them and talk about how high their ceiling is. What's your return on investment? All this is coming from reporters, folks that are supposed to be giving us the information on what our athletes are doing from a positive perspective. Why do you talk about them as though they are part of the U.S., New York Stock Exchange? Huh? Help me understand that. Help me understand that particular part. Why do you sometimes refer to them as these people?
Reporting difficult for guys. And I had all these guys' cell phone numbers. I was marching in the streets of Brooklyn with them. I was meditating on Zoom with players in the middle of COVID. So I'm not saying I'm their buddies, and they might not like what came out, but I was honest with them.
How did you get the trust of these people?
It just took time. They basically gave me a press pass and said, make friends. We're not going to treat you any differently than any other beat reporter. ask questions at the press conference and get to know these people. And so soon enough, I just kind of showed up everywhere, every day, you know, hung out in practice on the sidelines, and but also at these guys' apartments, at their favorite restaurants, at their hangouts, their bars, their secret bar that I knew they hung out with, helped me reconstruct scenes of them all going there for a very weed-heavy seance after Kobe died. And so reconstructing these scenes based on their trust, it took, you know, 10 more interviews just for one little particular, but they kind of got me there and told me the beginning of a story that I nailed down into a lot of scenes in this, you know, accident.
Yeah, a lot of BS. But you'll sit up there and talk about that you're not discussing anything of a personal nature or not putting out any of their personal information. I can imagine if you were saying that this book was going to be no holds barred and you were going to come out with all kinds of personal information, what other kind of junk would you have uncovered about these young men? You know, I heard Roland Martin say something the other day. And I kind of was pushed back initially when I heard it, but then later on, I realized, wow, that's so true. That is so true. And the statement that Roland made was, why are we so in awe over the lives of celebrities? Why does celebrity life fascinate us so much? You know, is it a situation of I want to be like Mike? So we're fascinated by that. We can't pull ourselves away from it to the point of saying, okay, that's that individual's life. This is my life. I'm living my life. He's living his life. We both are living our personal levels of success. That athlete or that entertainer reached that personal level of success based upon their work, their hard work, and pushed everything they had towards it. And if you made it to the professional level, or if you made it to, you know, a gold album or whatever, entertainer, Academy Award winning, type actor, entertainer, then you did a little extra something. You really put something into it to make sure that you had that aha moment. So why are we, as everyday folks, excited or entertained by, not, I shouldn't say entertained because it's the purpose of their job is to entertain. Why is it such a, oh, man, moment? Why are we so fascinated by the lives of these celebrities? Why? Why? Folks, you know, I'm sorry. I've been just rattling, haven't even invited you to join the call. If you want to come in and join in on this conversation or you have something that you want to add to this conversation, you can always chime in at 516-453-9932. Let me say that one more time. 516-453-9932. Chime in on the conversation. Add your thoughts. I may be totally off base. I may be missing the mark. I may not even know what I'm talking about. But I tell you what, I listened to that interview over and over again. I dissected every little piece of this interview to the point where I heard some things that many of you, if you listen to the interview, may not have heard. Because as I listen to these individuals start out referring to these young men as trolls, that caught my attention right there. When I listened to this interview and I heard them refer to, well, you know, they became friends with them. They befriended them. That caught my attention right there. And even when I listened to them as they begin to close the interview, where they talk about they are not friends. Yeah, I said it. That's what they said. They are not. No, you hear it for yourself. You tell me. What did he just say? Mr. Producer.
And I'm curious who's going to not support what it is you're saying. I'm curious if KD might hit you with some of the stuff that he's hit Jackie McMullen with, where this framing makes it seem like we're not friends, like we're friends, but we're not friends. It sounds like you got a lot closer to KD than anybody does.
He wasn't around that much. I wouldn't say I'm friends with anybody, nor do I want to be, because I'm a journalist who has, you know, no vested interest in my relationship with Rich Kleiman in 2 years. And so I can do, you know, diligent reporting on his investments in Silicon Valley entrepreneurs saying, you know.
Wow. I'm not friends with anybody, nor do I want to be. No, that's what he just said. I'm not friends with anybody, nor do I want to be. And then he runs off the tape talking about some other off-the-wall stuff, Rich Kleiman. But yet, at the opening, you befriended these guys. You said it. I didn't say it. You hung out in places where you know that they were going to be. You marched in the streets with them. You know, where they got to the point where they opened up and told you about this this ritualistic seance that they did, or this weed-smoking seance, or whatever you called it, in honor of the passing of Kobe. Really? But then you started lying when you started talking about the house reeked of weed. But then you turned around and said, oh, KD doesn't smoke in the house. Well, if he don't smoke in the house, you think he gonna let anybody else smoke in the house? If he doesn't smoke in the house, do you think he will let anyone else smoke in the house? That makes what sense? Help me understand that. You know, folks, again, you have to think about that. Anytime someone approaches one of your children and they have their recording device in their hand, and they shoved it in your child's face, what is going to be that line of question? And what is the purpose behind that line of question? Will there be a positive result coming out of that? And, you know, this here madness, the young lady, Naomi Osaka, you know, where they put the stress and pressure on her because she didn't feel like talking to reporters. Okay. That should be her right. She don't feel like talking to reporters. That's called self-care. Where you know that you have a limit. Where you know you can reach that level of anxiety. Where you know that now you can pull back and rest yourself, get your mind right. You don't have to worry about somebody always running up in your face. Self-care. Look it up. Check it out. You tell me what it is. And that's what she was trying to do. But no, you have these reporters that think they have the national. You know what? Here's the funny part about it. Now, as much as you probably heard me say, I didn't support 45 a whole lot. If he got to the point where he didn't want to talk to a reporter, he didn't. Was he fined for it? Was he sanctioned for it? No. No. How is that so? Because he's the president of the United States. And that is the job title that he holds, true. But again, how is it that he wasn't fined or sanctioned for that? It's not like the reporters was asking any question that was totally immoral or that would breach our level of security. But since the powers to be believe that they have the ultimate control over these athletes, then guess what? When these athletes decide that they don't want to talk with said reporter, they're fine. They're this, they're that. Another reporter come out talking about the worst person that they are because they don't want to sit down and talk with Mr. Sausage Head. Wow. Here's another funny part. Now, I want you to take this into consideration as we prepare to wind down for this particular show that I titled The Setup. If an athlete doesn't want to comment on something that took place in a particular game or don't want to answer the question that the reporter just stated, he or she can possibly be fined. Understand, no, trust and believe that statement right there. He or she can possibly be fined. Now, why you never see the microphone and cameras in the faces of the referee or the official? I'll hit you with that one more time. Why you never see the microphone or the camera in the faces of the referees or the officials? They make bad calls all the time. Are they fined for those bad calls? Huh? How are they held accountable for a game that may have just totally thrown out the window? I've seen several of them, seen some very extreme questionable calls, regular season and playoff time. Help me understand it. Help me understand. Folks, I'm going to leave you with this last piece, and then I'm going to prepare to wind down here because this last piece tells me what they really and truly thought about these young men. You know, and I'm trying to figure out where is it? This last piece here, folks, here is, what is he implying?
All of
this? What is Dan Lebatar implying?
He was smoking the entire time, right?
Well, I think KD would be the one who was probably smoking while Kyrie was burning the sage. I think that's...
Okay. Dan Lebatar was trying to imply that KD was smoking the entire time. Wow. Really? Is that the way it really needs to go down? Folks, I just need you to be conscious of this. I need you to make sure that you connect with your children and help your children understand this. Allow your children to listen to this show. Let them listen to this show and get some their thoughts of what they hear out of these sound bites. Or go on YouTube and look it up. The Dan Lebatar Show, Matt Sullivan. That's all I'm going to say. Been real. It's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. This is M.A. Scott, the host of the Parents Coaching Parents Network. And hey, if everything goes right, I'll see you again next week. Take me out there, Mr. Producer, college experience.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain and the